Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, I pray that we can use this time to share your word, to honor you. Father, I pray that at this time will not only be a time of remembrance and grieving, but a time of warm, loving, happy memories. We know Barbara now is with you, Father, and I pray that with this knowledge, it would provide us comfort and rest for our hearts. I pray, Father, that you'd use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. On behalf of the Graybosch family, I'd like to welcome you to the memorial service and the celebration of life for Barbara Graybosch. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Garrett Cunningham. I'm an ordained elder here at Christ Community Church, and our family has been blessed for over 20 years for knowing the Graybosch family and being friends. I've had the opportunity to get to know Barbara through countless baseball games that she attended for the grandkids, where our family was at the park at the same time for our own son's games. There was hardly a time when her grandkids were playing that she wasn't there cheering them on. I remember Barbara as being the voice of encouragement for her family. This time I'd like to welcome Jason up to share her eulogy.
Good afternoon, everyone. I know you're not supposed to read, but I'm going to have to get through this. On behalf of myself, my sister, and the rest of our families, we express our sincere gratitude for you joining us today to mourn the loss of our mom, Barbara Graybosch, and to celebrate her life. Although we miss her greatly, and there's a hole in our heart that will take time to mend, we are happy that she is no longer in pain, no longer suffering from Alzheimer's, that she is now with Jesus, and she is dancing in heaven with Dad. Mom was born in Unionville, Missouri, on December 8, 1932. Her birthday was always a little bit of a topic of conversation since she was born in the early hours of the 8th, but the doctor wrote December 7th on the birth certificate. So that was always a conversation around her birthday every year. Her family owned a farm nearby Lemons, where they lived until she was in sixth grade. They then moved to Unionville, where she lived until she married my dad. Mom was known by many names throughout her life, such as daughter, sister, wife, librarian, aunt, mom, grandma, fan, but most important was believer. Mom knew where she was going when she died, and as I already stated, she's in heaven right now, smiling down on all of us. She loved the Lord, and since her passing, we found many notes around the house she had written, almost like she was having a personal conversation with God. One she wrote, "Thinking about death, want your death to glorify God." In the same note she had written, "Saved by grace for believing." Mom attended Calvary Chapel for many years and enjoyed meeting her sister-in-law at church until she could no longer attend in person. Even though she couldn't attend in person, she still watched at home every Sunday. Sister. She was one of seven children and survived only by her youngest sister, Phyllis. She had two older siblings, Thelma and Corky, and four younger, Rita, the twins Phyllis and Dan, and then there was her baby brother, Larry. Every year we went back to Missouri for our summer vacation, we would see Uncle Corky, Aunt Thelma, and Aunt Phyllis. Her younger sister, Rita, passed when she was a teenager, and for whatever reason, we didn't see Uncle Dan very often. I would say she was closest to Aunt Phyllis, but she had a special place in her heart for Larry. I think at one point he lived with mom and dad either in Chicago or San Antonio. Larry was in the Navy, so he was gone a lot, and we didn't see him much until he and his family were stationed in Hawaii, then San Diego. And when he retired, he and Aunt P settled here in Tucson. Mom loved having her little brother here in town. Wife. Mom and dad started dating when dad was a senior in high school and mom had already graduated. She went for the younger guy. There was a group of kids that went to Lemons the Square Dance. Dad was part of that group. He and mom always danced together, and that's how they started dating. The sad thing is me and my sister didn't really know they were that good of dancers until my wedding, and we stood there in awe watching them dance. Dad went to college to play football. Mom stayed in Unionville working for the library. Mom had started working for the library when she was in high school because she loved to read. Dad used to hitchhike home from college on weekends to see mom. He would bring her Russell Stover's candies. which she says was always her favorite because that is what he brought her. I'm not sure about that. She bought an awful lot of candy from See's Candies over the years. Just ask my kids, especially Brooke, whose See's Candy order is in the notes of my phone. Dad got hurt and quit school. He came back home, and that is when they got married. They were married August 10th, 1954. Mom was 22, Dad was 20. After marrying, they lived in Chicago for a while, then Springfield, Mo, Missouri, where he went back to school and finished his degree. They also lived in San Antonio when Dad was stationed at Fort Sam Houston, and finally moved to Tucson in 1964 when Dad went to work for the Red Cross. Librarian. As stated earlier, Mom worked for a library since she was in high school. Every place she lived, she would go to work for the library. She started working for the City of Tucson Library 3 days after moving to Tucson. She was there until she retired June 30th, 1992, after 28 years. And Mom had many nieces and nephews. She had a close relationship with Fred. Fred moved to Tucson from St. Louis back in the 80s. Fred would always stop by and visit Mom, or they would meet for a meal. Mom always enjoyed their visits, as he would always catch her up on what was going on with the family back in Missouri. Mom. This was my favorite name for her. She was a great mom. Lisa and I were blessed to have her as a mom. We've always known, we've always known that she was there for us, loved us loads, as she often wrote in her cards. There were so many wonderful things I could say about her as a mom, but a few memories that kept popping into my mind the days since her passing are these. I can remember a coffee pot percolating in the morning before she left her work. We'd rarely see Mom in the mornings since she left so early, but we smelled her coffee every morning. I think that's why I love the smell of coffee, even though I hate the taste of it. She drank it black, too. She was a wonderful cook. She baked the best cinnamon pie I ever had. We used to fight over them as kids, especially if Uncle Larry was in town. As I got older, and especially as an adult, when she made pie, she would always make me my own cinnamon pie. Her fudge was remarkable, and there's nothing like her strawberry jam. Dad used to take a piece of bread, put a little butter on it, and smother it with jam just to have as a snack. I remember it being such a treat to help Mom make chocolate chip cookies, which is probably why I like them so much to this day. She would split the batch and make half plain because Lisa and Dad didn't really care for the chocolate chips. Until a few years ago, she would make almost every holiday dinner. She finally started letting us help, as it was just too much for her to do by herself. She would have dinner ready almost every night at 6 o'clock. I used to drive her nuts, especially during baseball season. On the days when I was home, I'd wait for Dad to get home so he could throw batting practice to me. And I'd run in and ask Mom, I'm like, Mom, I just need 5 minutes. And she'd just give me that look, but she'd do it anyway. Occasionally, if we took too long, she'd come out, it's time to eat. Dad and I knew we'd pushed it too long. We'd go inside and apologize to Mom. After dinner, she would go into her room and read. Mom was a voracious reader. She loved to read romance novels. I don't remember how old I was, but I grabbed one of her books one day and started reading it. I was shocked by what my mom was reading. She was also a mom to many. Lisa had several friends that, for one reason or another, would wind up living with us for extended periods of time. I never once heard her complain. My cousin Ed, who is Uncle Larry's son, even came to live with us for a couple years when he was in high school. Mom treated him like one of her kids. Kathy and I were talking the other day, and her and Andy, my brother-in-law, knew Mom for almost 34 years. 31 of those years, Kathy knew her as Mom. Took Lisa a little longer to get and Andy get married. Mom thought of and treated them like a daughter and a son. Grandma, that was her favorite. She absolutely loved being a grandma. Brett, Ryan, Brooke, and Sammy brought her so much joy. She would do anything for her grandkids. She even had rooms in their house for them. They were not referred to as my old room or Lisa's room. They were called the boys' room and the girls' room. She was such a blessing to us in the way she helped us take care of and raise our kids. She would often pick them up from school for various reasons, and she would have treats in the car for them, or she would make the run to McDonald's to get them an ice cream cone or a McFlurry. These were the favorites of Ryan and Sammy. I remember one day after practice or a game or something, I had taken Ryan to get an ice cream at McDonald's, and he was made the comment, "Man, this is, I get two ice cream cones a day." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Well, Grandma took me after school." Fan. She was our biggest fan, whether it was Lisa, me, or the grandkids. She didn't miss a game, meet, recital, performance, or play. Mom and Dad traveled all over the state of Arizona watching Lisa and I play whatever sport we were in at whatever level. One of her notes, she talked about driving a van back from Denver, Colorado in the summer of 1988. We'd gone up to Denver for an all-star team, and we won and went to the West Region, so she had to fly, drive the van back home. She would sit in the stands my freshman year at U of A, even though I rarely played. Mom and Dad were retired by the spring of my senior year and drove back and forth between Missouri and Indiana to watch me play as many games as they could that year. They went to watch Lisa's volleyball teams when she was a coach. Mom even used to come out and watch me play City League with a bunch of old guys. As her grandkids started participating in sports, dance, school events, plays, she was always there, often leaving right after one event to go to it, watch another. If I close my eyes, I can picture her in the stands, hear her voice yelling, "Come on," and then one of the kids' names as she encouraged them. I'd always get a quick phone call or a voice message saying, "Cardinals are on TV tonight. That's all I wanted to tell you." A few stories and thoughts about Mom. I very rarely saw Mom angry, but man, she would let me have it if I was too harsh on her grandsons when I was coaching them. She didn't like that at all. As many of you have shared what a sweet lady Mom was, you should have played cards with her. She loved to play cards, whether playing pinochle, rummy, hearts, 13 with the family, or solitaire by herself. She always played to win. Through the years, I have participated in and witnessed some fun and sometimes ruthless card games with her and other family members. She also liked to watch golf. I think that's how she stayed connected to Dad, but she sure didn't like it if foreigners won a golf tournament. She loved going to breakfast and would go to her different spots during the week. When she stopped driving and after the COVID restrictions ended, I wound up taking her to Hungry Fox every Tuesday and Thursday mornings. The entire staff knew who she was and greeted her every morning. Some of the regulars would say, "Hey, Barb," when we came in. If I couldn't take her, then one of the kids or Kathy would take her. I'm going to miss that time with Mom. Mom gave up driving, but not until she was 87. I had dreaded the day for so long because she had been so independent for so many years. But she gave up her keys and made it easy on me. Except she told us last year she found the keys that we hid at her house and went for a spin around the neighborhood. The car keys were in a lockbox shortly after that. As I said my dad's eulogy many years ago, I hope that on behalf of the dad to my kids that he was to me. Now I can say, "Mom, I hope if or when I'm a grandparent, that on behalf of the grandparent to my grandkids, that you were to my grandkids, or to our grandkids, sorry." Promised my dad before he died that I would take care of Mom. "Dad, I did the best I could. I hope I lived up to my promise. Thank you all for coming."
Sorry, give me a second. So, thank you all for coming today. If you're here, you either played a part in Barbara, my grandma's life, or a part of her family's, and for that, we're all grateful. When thinking about what I wanted to say, the one theme kept coming back to me. And that to me was the word selflessness. The Oxford Dictionary defines selflessness as concerned more with the needs and wishes of others than one's own. If I could sum up my grandma in any way, that is how I would do it. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4,
It says this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. I don't have one memory from my life to where my grandma put herself above me or the family and those around us. Like my dad had mentioned, she was at every game for all four grandkids. And when I moved out, one of the biggest things was she would call me and beg her to bring my laundry so she could do it. It was just an excuse for her to get to see me. And as my dad mentioned, the sport of golf. For every one of you that's got to golf with my dad, you know it's not always the most fun experience. And while now we both love the game and I love playing with him, my love for golf stems from her. Most people watch golf and they get bored and they think they're crazy. To this day, I can still sit on the couch for an entire Sunday and watch, and that is because of her. And I will never forget the phone calls we shared. In recent years, since me and Haley started dating, we've got to do some pretty cool and exciting stuff. And I can hear her voice in my head every time I tell her about some new crazy adventure, or new toy with the motor we got that just winds up hurting us. It's her always going, you guys are crazy. And it's those memories and her selfless attitude that I will remember forever and hopefully be able to carry on in my legacy and throughout my family's legacy. Thank you.
If any of you would like to share a memory, you could come up to the podium or I can bring a mic to you if you can't get out of your seat. But we'd like to offer that opportunity for you right now.
Hi, my name is Angie Valencia, and I used to work with Barbara at the library, and she was like a second mom to me. She was always taking me out for lunch, and we talk about work and stuff, but she always talked about her kids. I would always ask how's Lisa and Jason doing, and I was sad when Gary passed, but I know she was a great mom. She loved her kids, and she's always talking about them, always did, went to see what they were doing, their sports. So I'm glad that she got to spend so much time with her grandkids and her kids, and I was very lucky to have known her. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Angela, and I've been blessed to know Barbara since I was about 12, and I, too, used to love those cinnamon pies. I can remember asking at such a young age, Jason, please bring me just a piece, and he did, and I just wanted to thank both of you for sharing your beautiful memories. She will be missed greatly, and at Jerry Bob's, too, she would come in, and we would say, good morning, Barbara. Thank you.
As her dad had mentioned, we found that my grandma was studying passages from the Bible, taking notes and writing down scriptures that spoke to her. We are going to share one that she had written and placed on her dresser. It comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We will miss her very much, but we are finding comfort knowing that she is now resting with the Lord and rejoicing in heaven. Thank you.
watch us where we go. And help us to be wise in times when we don't know.
God calls me home, and my soul is laid to rest. That won't mean I'm gone. Darling, heaven knows I love you just the same. So don't you feel alone. You may cry tears. That's okay. Just know I'll never be too far away. I'll be sleeping in the stars, shining through the dark. Watching, smiling, singing out in the silence. Every
some steps that we take leave an everlasting mark. Even death can't take away. So if you're missing me, just look inside your heart and let the memories play. You may cry a tear or two, and that's okay. Look up and know I'm not that far away. I'll be sleeping in the stars, shining through the dark.
Shoulders, you raise me up.
I'd like to read a passage of scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated at the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Jesus, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he have opened his eyes of the blind man and also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there would be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This story of Lazarus dying and being resurrected is a precursor to us seeing Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected. In verses 1 to 4, the scripture says that Lazarus was the one that Jesus loved. They were saying, it came to Jesus and they said, "Come quick. This is the one you love and he is ill." They were saying, if you don't get there now, you won't get a chance to see him before he dies. Jesus responds by saying, this illness does not result in death. Jesus knew that the result was going to be, and that Jesus was doing his Father's work. He needed to finish the work that was in front of him. He knew that Lazarus was going to die and then be raised from the dead. He said, the Son of God will be glorified through this. He knew that the people would see Lazarus being raised from the dead and know Jesus was the Son of God. In verses 5 to 7, we see Jesus waiting 2 more days after Lazarus was ill and dying. Jesus did this in obedience with God the Father. In verses 7 to 10, Jesus tells the disciples to come to Judea with him. And they responded by telling him, "Are you crazy? Those people want to stone you to death." Jesus responded by telling them, "There are 12 hours of daylight in every day. If I walk in my Father's light and obedience, I will be safe. My Father will not let anything happen to me." Verses 11 to 16, Jesus tells his disciples that they need to go. Lazarus has fallen asleep. His disciples didn't want to go to Judea because they were afraid that they'd be stoned. They tell Jesus, if Lazarus is sleeping, he'll wake up. We don't need to go. We'll be in danger. Jesus responds plainly by saying, "Lazarus is dead." He then proceeds to tell them, "I'm glad I didn't go, so that you will believe." Jesus knew he would raise Lazarus from the dead and that they would witness and further believe who he was. Verses 17 to 21, we see Jesus arrives and hears that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And his sister, Martha, tells Jesus, "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died." She then proceeds to tell him, "Whatever he asks, God knows, and God will give him." Jesus tells her, "He is the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in him will never die, but have everlasting life." Martha responds by telling him, she does believe and knows that he is Christ, the Son of God. Now, Martha had met Jesus on the road outside the village before he got there. Martha runs ahead to the house where her sister Mary was at with the fellow Jews who were weeping. And Martha tells her sister in private that Jesus has come to see their brother. Mary jumps up, runs out, and goes to Jesus. When the other Jews had saw this, they thought that she was going to the tomb where Lazarus was at, and she was going to weep. But Mary saw Jesus on the road. She fell at his feet, and she told him the same thing that Martha did. "If he had been here, our brother would not have died." When Jesus saw this, and all the other Jews weeping that were with her, his spirit was deeply moved. Scripture says his heart was deeply troubled. When Scripture tells us that Jesus asked Lazarus where Lazarus was laid, when he saw Lazarus, Jesus wept. The other Jews were commenting on how much Jesus loved Lazarus and that if he had been there, he could have saved Lazarus. I want to stay in the story here for one moment. God's word says that Jesus was deeply troubled in his heart and that he wept for his loved one. We were created by God with emotions and we're made in God's image. The Son of God wept and felt all these things, and we do too. It's all right to weep. It's all right to feel anger. We have emotions because that is how we were designed. If Jesus wept over his friend dying, it's okay for us to weep also. It's a God-given human emotion. In verses 38 to 44, Jesus goes to the tomb. He raises Lazarus from the dead and asks him to come out of the tomb. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when this had taken place. He'd been wrapped in linens and put in a tomb. Jesus had performed this miracle to show the disciples who he was. And by obeying God, he will protect you. And the most important, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross for your sins, you'll have eternal life in heaven. This gift is free. All you have to do is believe. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, come talk to me. I'll pray with you to accept him. I know that when we lose a loved one, it's not easy to have comfort. Remember, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." I heard someone once say that when we're born, we're crying. We're welcomed by a bunch of people that love us and they're happy to see us. And that when we die, we're headed to paradise in heaven, greeted by those welcoming us, smiling and happy to see us, and leaving behind those weeping and crying, not wanting us to leave. Please pray with me. Father, we've come here today at this difficult time, and we seek you. We ask you to help us as we go to find comfort and understanding in you. Father, I ask for healing for the family, for the community, to surround them, to help us get through these ups and downs. And they will be there in the following years. Memories, things that trigger different thoughts and emotions. Father, I pray that you would give us family and friends for your peace, the kind of peace that passes all understanding. Father, I pray that if someone here today has heard this message, does not know you, that they would accept your free gift of eternal life. Father, I want to thank you for everyone here today, especially those who have reached out and helped walk alongside the family as they endure the pain of losing Barbara. Father, thank you for your love, your understanding, your grace, and I'm just thankful that you extend that to us every day. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would, please stand and join me in singing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Ye when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining out, the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Than when we first begun.
I'd like to read Hebrews 13:30 as a benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the external covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This concludes our service. At this time, I'd ask that we allow the family to exit. They're going to have a celebration of life reception over in the Family Life Center across the courtyard. And they'll be there to visit with you, and they've got a limited amount of time. They'll be there till about 2:45, and then they're going to head over for a family private graveside to put Barbara's remains to rest. Thank you all for attending, and God bless.